Mahalo and welcome back. My name is Lieutenant Colonel Alex Carter, part of the faculty here at the Daniel K. Inouye Asia Pacific Center for Security Studies. Welcome back to Module 2. In Module 2, we will continue with the video series by outlining the remaining 5 activities or tools that will help you as a project manager successfully manage and complete your fellow's project. Let's go to the slides. Here is the agenda for today. Again, we will cover 5 activities within the area of Build the Guiding Team. This should look familiar to you from Module 1. And we'll be focusing on Build the Guiding Team and items 2 through 6, tools and activities that can help you manage and successfully complete your project. So before I show the rest of the content on this slide, did you know that most teams at work, even in sports teams or other areas of life where there's a team concept, go through a predictable cycle of team development? Think about that for a second. Teams, cycles, they form, they storm, they norm, they perform, and they adjourn. Here is some research on those 5 stages of team development. Teams typically go through these stages. We call it forming, storming, norming, performing, and adjourning. Think about this. Any team you have been part of has typically gone through these stages, right? For example, you joined the team, you tried to figure out your role and what was expected of you, you began to work as a team. In some cases, you worked really well as a team. However, research has shown that most teams struggle in the storming stage, which is the stage where everyone's tasks, roles, and responsibilities are discussed, negotiated, and agreed upon. Let me ask you this. Why do you think most teams get stuck in the storming stage? I think it's typically because the project manager fails to give his or her team members proper guidance on what each team member will be doing on the project and what their expected contribution will be on the project. So great teams, looking at the second bullet, great teams go through storming. Storming is normal in a team cycle, but great teams go through storming, but not for long. Bad teams go through storming and get stuck there. So what makes the difference between great teams and bad teams or underperforming teams? And so on the next slide, I will show you a way to help you get out of the storming stage quickly by helping you easily determine what with your team who does what. And the answer is called a RACI chart. So a RACI chart stands for Responsible, Accountable, Consulted, and Informed. And before I show you the rest of the chart, one of the things I would do when I return to my country is to develop a project plan. This is simply a chart or a matrix that lists out the key activities in your project. Then I would assign people to those activities based on their role on the team and their capabilities. I would do this because it is critical that everyone knows which tasks for which they are responsible. This will reduce stress and anxiety on the project. This will quickly get each team member past the storming stage, as I discussed earlier, and into productive work on the team. So looking at the chart on the left, you can see responsible, accountable, consulted, and informed on what those definitions mean. As I mentioned earlier, you would put together your project plan organized by activities, 1 through 4. In this case, I've made up a fictitious project that only consists of 4 activities. In my case, there are 4 people on the team: Sarah, Alex, Bill, and Mary. And as a project manager, Alex, because I can give myself tasks as a project manager, I have worked with my team and decided for those tasks who is accountable, who's responsible, in some cases who needs to be consulted or informed relative to each task. So I would assign a team member for each task to be the accountable party, meaning the one who is ultimately responsible for the completion of the task. Typically, this person will not actually do the work, rather they will assign or delegate that task to others. Next, for that same task or activity, I would assign a team member to be the responsible party, meaning the one who actually does the work. Next, I would assign one or more team members to be consulted and informed. And as you can see from the chart, consulted means those whose opinions are sought, typically subject matter experts or members of your own team who happen to have knowledge of the particular activity or task. And informed means those who are kept up to date on progress, and they typically just need to get briefed and not necessarily consulted. Why do we have consulted and informed assignments on the team? Well, remember that your project will require most likely a lot of interaction with individuals who may or may not work within your department, division, ministry, etc. They are experts in their field. They need to be consulted to get their advice. Even though they are not formally on your team, if they are consulted about your project, they are part of your team, and you should put them on your RACI chart. Others may need to be informed, which is similar to being consulted, again, but these are individuals that need to be kept up to date on how the project is going. They don't need to be consulted, just informed. But this group of people can also be considered an extended part of your team. When you've completed this activity, you will have a completed RACI chart, which will identify who is on your team and what tasks they have on the project, whether they are responsible, accountable, consulted, or informed. This will be of tremendous value to you as a project manager if you take this RACI chart and regularly review it against progress on your project. I would recommend you have a weekly team meeting to see how each individual is doing with their assigned tasks. Next, I'm going to talk about a power versus interest grid. Every project has stakeholders. These are individuals that are positively or negatively affected by the outcome of your project. Individuals on your team, therefore, could also be considered stakeholders, right? If you have a successful project, then your team members will receive rewards where they work. If the project is not successful, then your team members could receive punishments, disincentives, or suffer other consequences, right? So we need to treat our team members very well as we would other stakeholders. One method that you see on the screen for identifying and prioritizing stakeholders is to use a power versus interest grid. The first step should be to brainstorm a list of potential stakeholders that may be positively or negatively affected by the outcome of your project. Next, plot each stakeholder on this grid based on your team's combined judgment of whether the stakeholder has a low, moderate, or high level of interest in the project, and whether the stakeholder has a low, moderate, or high level of power within the organization or environment. Please do this for all of your identified stakeholders. When this activity is complete, there should be a number of stakeholders plotted in different areas of this grid or chart. As you can see in the chart, your team should focus heavily in the red area on any stakeholders plotted in the top right section of the grid. These are stakeholders with both high power and high interest as it relates to your project. These stakeholders will be carefully managed by your team throughout your project. You will manage these stakeholders on something called a stakeholder register, which is what I will discuss next. The manage closely stakeholders should be written on a stakeholder register, which shows which team member will be responsible for communicating with which stakeholder. The project manager working with his or her team will decide which team member will be assigned to each stakeholder, the level of frequency of contact, and the type of contact. The principle here is that regular planned communication between the project and the stakeholders will generally reduce potential confusion about what the project goals are and increase positive feelings and interest about the project in general. Assign team members to stakeholders based on any number of factors, including known and existing relationships between team member and stakeholder, perceived level of interest of the stakeholder, communication skills of any particular team member, etc. Remember, deliberate planned meetings with stakeholders are key to build and develop each relationship. Relationships do matter. The goal is to generate a good amount of positive feelings, support, and encouragement from our stakeholders. Team members will also be able to collect valuable insights and information from these stakeholders. Information that may help adjust certain tasks on the project to make the team more effective and efficient in producing its work. When you have completed this activity, you will have a completed stakeholder register. This will be of tremendous value to you as a project manager if you take the stakeholder register and regularly review it with your project team. I would recommend you have a weekly team meeting to see how each individual is doing with their assigned tasks of working with stakeholders and collecting information from time to time on what those stakeholders' concerns or interests are relative to the project. This is very valuable information that we can collect and review together as a team. Our next activity is the probability and impact matrix. Every project has risks, meaning things that could potentially disrupt, distract, or stop your project from being successful. As a project manager, you should do your best with your team members to identify as many potential risks to your project as possible, as early as possible. That way, your team can begin to strategize ways to reduce or eliminate those risks. One method for identifying and prioritizing risks is to use a probability and impact matrix, or P&I matrix. This first step should be to brainstorm a list of potential risks to the successful completion of your project. Do this as a team, please. Next, plot each risk on the P&I matrix based on your team's combined judgment of whether the risk has a low, moderate, or high probability of happening or occurrence, and whether the risk has a low, moderate, or high level of impact if it happened. Do this for all of your identified risks. When this activity is complete, there should be a number of risks plotted in different areas of the matrix. Your team should focus on any risks plotted in the top right section of the P&I matrix. These are risks with a high probability of occurrence and a high level of impact. These risks will be carefully managed by your team throughout your project. You will manage these risks on something called a risk register, which is what I will discuss next. Here is the risk register. The probability and impact matrix with risks that have been identified as high probability and high impact should be written on a risk register, which shows a number of important attributes of each risk that will be managed throughout the life of the project. Namely, risk ID number, let's give it a number, a risk description, a risk probability and impact, a ranking or score that you can create. You can create your own scoring table, and a recommended risk response or strategy, and who will own the risk. This is very important. Owning the risk means being responsible for monitoring the risk and mitigating or eliminating the risk as appropriate. The principle here is that regular, planned monitoring, discussion, and in some cases, actions will manage the risk down to a safe level, significantly reducing the chances of the risk becoming a reality. Assign team members to each risk based on any number of factors, including their level of expertise, their past experiences, their availability, etc. When you have completed this activity, you will have a completed risk register. This will be of tremendous value to you as a project manager if you take this risk register and regularly review it with your project team. I would recommend you having a weekly team meeting to see how each individual is doing with their assigned risks. And as I've mentioned previously about the stakeholder matrix, your team's weekly meeting could include all of these elements on your agenda: a stakeholder register, a risk register, etc. If you have any questions and you are currently in a course at the center, I encourage you to write those questions down and ask them during the Q&A section in the plenary session for managing projects successfully. We will have enough time for one of the faculty to answer your question or number of questions. Thank you for attending this video lecture series, Managing Your Project Successfully. Today, I have provided you with some practical advice on how to successfully manage your fellow's project. I have now provided you with all six activities or tools that you can use on your project, especially at the start of your project. You don't have to use all six of them. You can use 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 of them. It's up to you. If you use more of these tools than less, if you use 6 of these tools or 4 of these tools rather than 1 or 2, you will be that much more successful. But even using 1 or 2 of these tools can help. And for that, I thank you for your attention and mahalo.